Chapter 6 Wrapped in Ice. After supper, Rennie was desperate to go to Julie's house, but she was not allowed, so she went to the living room and sat on the sofa in her angry pose, her legs folded up and her arms crossed in front of her chest. But even before she sat down, her anger had faded. Mama had some good reason for refusing to let her go. In a while, Mama sat beside her, her eyes as dark as night and gentle as a summer day. "You look like you lost everything," she said. "I have to see Julie." Rennie's explanation sounded weak even to herself. "Not tonight." Mama didn't want to speak, but she had to. Julie's father is a miner, and there are hard feelings. Her mother had some nasty things to say today.
"Like what?"
"Never mind," said Mama, "but I think he would be sent home. You and Roberto can come with me to the Scipias to play with Anna and Giorgio. Signor Scopa is another miner who couldn't work today. Things might be rough for a while, and we're going to have to be especially good to our friends." "How?" asked Rennie. It had never occurred to her that they weren't good to their friends. In fact, everyone in Whitney Pierre had always understood when others were in trouble. So how could the McLeans turn her away? She and Julie spent every afternoon together. Still, the funny feeling she had about Mrs. McLean was real. She remembered yesterday when she'd had to leave at 4 o'clock. But Julie needed her bracelet. If she didn't get it tonight, that would be 2 whole nights she'd be without it. Obediently, but unhappily, Rennie went with Robbie and Mama to Anna's house. Anna was a good friend. "You shouldn't be in school, Rennie. It was awful," she said as soon as they arrived in the front yard. "No one will play with us anymore. All the other kids hate the Italians now. In our class, it's just you and me and Pietra who'll play together." "Julie will be my friend." "No, she won't. She's one of the meanest. She said she hates you. She said you lied to her about stomping grapes and you were selfish with her paper dolls. She said she'll never speak to you again. She said all of us are liars." Rennie felt as if a large ball were rolling up inside her chest to her throat. Again, she pressed her arms across her stomach as if she could stop it. "It's not true," she insisted. When she could speak, Julie wouldn't tell such lies. And just because Mr. and Mrs. McLean were angry, it didn't mean Julie would be. "Is it true? But look, we got each other. We've got to stick together," Mama said. The ball in Rennie's throat had disappeared. The familiar prickliness had taken its place. Anna was there wanting to play, but how could she? She walked around to the back of the house, and Anna didn't follow her. She sat on the back step where last glow of sunlight squinted at her through the trees. She rounded her back toward her knees like a porcupine and imagined the quills sticking up. No one could touch her, not Julie or Anna. She wondered if Julie could have said those things, but if she had, she'd change her mind as soon as she got the bracelet back. In fact, maybe that's what she was so mad about, losing the bracelet. And she was taking it out on Rennie. Like Mama might explain about Robbie, he'd get in trouble with Papa or some neighbor would holler at him to stop riding across their lawn. And then he'd be mean to Rennie. It wasn't fair, but it would get better when Julie was happier. What if Julie thought she stole the bracelet? But no, she would have told Anna that. Rennie straightened up and let the sun shine on her face. Anna and Robbie and Giorgio came running to the back. "Come on, Rennie," Anna called to her. "We're going to play war. It's starting to get dark and spooky out. Giorgio's the general." Giorgio, the oldest, thrust a stick machine gun into her hand. She took it easily and fell into line, as if being a soldier would get the anger out. "Hup to private," Giorgio ordered. Off to get the Germans, with the guns over their shoulders, they fell in line next to him and marched across the yard. At a signal from Giorgio, They were all down on one knee, shooting at the bushes. "Kill the German devils," Giorgio ordered, but their machine guns fired. Then, suddenly, Giorgio shouted, "Retreat!" And they jumped up and charged past the house and toward the street. There, they caught their breath and were ready to march again. "Aircraft bombers!" shouted Giorgio, and they transformed into roaring jets, zipping around the house in zigzag fashion. Then, under siege, and they dropped behind bushes, defending their land with their stick artillery. Finally, it was truly dark, and the children flopped to the ground by the picket fence in the front of the house. Rennie stretched out full on her back. The big white moon and the cold, moist air enchanted her. It was the night fairy. "Good battle, everyone," Anna commended them. "Yep," said Robbie. He aimed his machine gun at Rennie. Then he rolled over on the grass laughing. "That's it, kill each other," someone scolded. It was Mr. McLean tramping down the sidewalk. "Better than killing us Canadians." In the dark, Rennie couldn't see his face, but such a comment had to be a joke. Cheerfully, she said, "Hi, Mr. McLean, we're shooting the Germans." Mr. McLean moved close to her. Of all people, you should know the Italians are with the Germans, not against them. "But we're Canadian-Italian, Mr. McLean," Giorgio tried to explain. Mr. McLean narrowed his eyes and looked the children over. "Huh?" He turned and marched on. The children looked at each other in dismay. "See," said Anna. Rennie didn't answer, but wrapped her arms around her knees and stared past everyone. By the light of the street lamps, she watched Mr. McLean's balding head bob rapidly into the distance. She heard Giorgio explaining to Robbie what people thought of the Italians now, but they were all wrong. We're loyal citizens, just like them. Rennie felt slightly reassured by loyal citizens, whatever that meant. She reached down and ripped out some blades of grass. They were smooth and cool, comforting. It was obvious Julie must not understand about the Italians. Later, as Rennie sat on her bed in the nightgown, she smiled at the ID bracelet in her hand. It was the most important thing in the world to Julie, and when she got it back, she knew that Rennie and all her family was as good as they had always been. Mama came in. Sadness was carving its place on her face. Rennie wiped the smile off her own and explained about the bracelet and about how Julie thought Rick should be a soldier. "Probably Julia has changed her mind by now," Mama said. "Why?" "Renetta, Ricardo is going to be a doctor. He's going to help people get well, not kill them. That is the best thing anyone can do for Canada. Did you say a prayer for Papa?" "Yes, that's good. That's all you should worry about. Only Papa. Now, good night." She kissed Rennie and tucked in the blanket, but not with her usual attentiveness. She seemed to be pulling away, wanting to leave the room. But Rennie didn't pay much attention to that. She just wished Mama had told her what was probably true, that Julie wouldn't want Rick to be a soldier because he was Italian, and now Italians were the enemy. But tomorrow she would not be the enemy. She went to sleep right away. When she woke up, she washed carefully and put on a clean dress. Then she put on Rick's sweater so she could show Julie how the bracelet must have fallen into its very wide pocket. She ate her breakfast quickly and washed out the bathroom sink, making it sparkle. She kissed Mama goodbye and ran to school. Anna and Pietra were waiting for her, but she went straight to Julie. "Julie, guess what? I've got..." Julie pretended not to see her. She thrust her chin out and turned away. Rennie moved around to get in front of her, but Julie kept turning until she had a clear path ahead of her. Rennie tried to keep up. "It's something you'll want." Julie stopped and turned to her. You're rotten Italian, and we all hate you. Her eyes seemed to glow with red. She marched away. Rennie stood perfectly still. She felt wrapped in ice. She put her hand in her pocket and clenched the bracelet. You're mine now, pretty silver bracelet, she said.